Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. The world is getting a little crazy, isn't it? Isn't it nice to have a friendly place to visit every week? And we mean every week. Where you can learn what's really going on. From electric vehicles to renewable energy. From electric tunnels to humanoid robots. From rockets to internet satellites to brain interfaces. Thank you for inviting us into your lives and joining this amazing community. It's time to start the show. Let episode 420 begin.
We don't smoke.
We don't actually smoke. You know that, right? Okay.
Hey, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 420.
On Now You Know.
Neuralink received approval last week from the Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, for what Neuralink is calling BlindSight.
So this is FDA's breakthrough device designation approval, which allows Neuralink to start human patient trials. And Neuralink says, join us in our quest to bring back sight to those who have lost it. Apply to our patient registry and openings on our career page at Neuralink.com.
Wait, so what is this?
Well, Elon explained, the BlindSight device from Neuralink will enable even those who have lost both eyes and their optic nerve to see. Provided the visual cortex is intact, it will even enable those who have been blind from birth to see for the first time. To set expectations correctly, the vision will be at first low resolution, like Atari graphics, but eventually it has the potential to be better than natural vision and enable you to see in infrared, ultraviolet, or even radar wavelengths like Jordi LaForge. Much appreciated, US FDA.
And then Neuralink's first patient, Noland Arbaugh, said this is huge. So grateful to be part of such a humanity-driven company.
Yeah, this is huge. And I just really hate it when people say that, you know, Elon's just this crazy billionaire. Well, that's why we love him, because he's working on things like this that are making humanity great.
Because hypothetically, he could help someone somewhere where there wasn't any internet, and that person could not have any use of their legs and not be able to see, and Neuralink could take care of the walking and moving their arms and seeing, and then Starlink could enable them to have access to the internet.
Yeah.
That's all from the companies started by one guy.
Well, I'll go even further. You could have a humanoid robot pick them up, put them into a robo-taxi, bring them to a starship that would bring them to Mars.
That's true. That's a good example. Tesla's semi-program manager, Dan Priestley, showed off the Tesla semi-truck with test drives at the IAA Transportation Summit in Hanover, Germany last week.
Elon posted, looks like we can get kilowatt hours per mile down around 1.2 with the median semi load.
Priestley talked about how Tesla semis have driven more than 7.5 million kilometers.
They even have one semi that is less than a year and a half old that has driven 400,000 kilometers. They have semis in the Tesla fleet and they drive them one for one with diesel trucks, he said. So no compromise in schedule and no compromise in payload. Sawyer Merritt says PepsiCo said today that their drivers who operate the company's Tesla semi trucks have reported that after driving the electric truck, They don't want to go back to driving a diesel truck.
And Elon said, compared to diesel, Tesla semi trucks have a lot more acceleration, uphill power, and computer controlled safety features like jackknifing protection. So both more fun and safer to drive. He didn't mention regen braking. You get regen braking. You don't have to use the Jake brake.
Alex says, PepsiCo says it currently has 89 Tesla semis in its fleet so far. Bill Gates said this would never happen.
And Elon said progress.
Funny how the mainstream media doesn't tell you about this stuff about Tesla semis or Neuralink. They just want to talk about crazy billionaire Elon talking his politics every week.
But, it's because he doesn't come out and have a big showy event, except that when he does have a big showy event, they go, "Well, he had a big showy event. What a jerk." The Ford F-150 has been the undisputed best-selling vehicle in the United States for 46 consecutive years.
You said years. I think you meant quarters.
No, years. From 1977 until today.
What?
Yeah. According to data from Experian and WolfStreet.com, new vehicle share of registrations by model from January 1st through the end of June of this year reveals that the F-150 may be losing its crown to the Toyota RAV4 and the Tesla Model Y. Through Q2, the Model Y has a 2.8% market share. That's the highest ever, up from 2.6 in Q1.
But wait, you must be talking about the EV version of the F-150, the Lightning.
Nope. The Model Y is outselling both the electric and ICE versions of the F-150.
What about the EV market share overall in the U.S.?
In Q2, the market share of battery electric vehicles has grown to 9%, up from 8.1% year over year. This does not include hybrids and plug-in hybrids. This is data for just pure electric cars.
Wait, so you're saying that almost 1 in 10 new vehicle purchases in the U.S. are now electric? I cannot wait for that to hit double digits. By the way, fun personal fact, our family's first pickup truck back in the 1970s was a Ford F-150. There I am in the Red Sox hat. So one of the arguments that you hear from like the average man on the street, they say this about EVs.
What do you do when you have to replace the battery pack? That's going to be expensive.
So let's go to the data.
Data.
A new study from the Canadian telematics company Geotab shows that the vast majority of EV batteries will likely outlast the electric cars they're in.
In 2019, Geotab published a similar report, and at the time, that data showed that the average EV pack was degrading at an average of 2.3% per year.
Now, using new data from fleet usage, their latest report shows a dramatic improvement. Battery packs are degrading at a lower rate of only 1.8% per year.
Doing the math, that means that batteries on average would still have 80% of their health after 12 years. Geotab estimates that batteries could last 20 years or more at their current average degradation.
Geotab says, according to our data, the simple answer is that the vast majority of batteries will outlast the usable life of the vehicle and will never need to be replaced. If an average EV battery degrades at 1.8% per year, it will still have over 80% state of health after 12 years, generally beyond the usual life of a fleet vehicle.
Another interesting tidbit from their study shows that EVs that are used heavily don't seem to have any more battery degradation than low-use ones.
That's interesting. So batteries don't really care if they're used. It's just time?
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting that. I would have thought the more you use it, the more worn out it would be.
But I also noticed this little tidbit. Geotab did notice that there was, quote, observable difference in battery health between cars that routinely charge on level 2 compared to those that charge on level 1. Level 1 is obviously 120 volts, and level 2 is 240 volts.
And usually at a higher amperage as well.
Right. So this is interesting, and it's something you can do even if you don't have 120 volts at home. Like if you're normally plugging into your 240-volt charger, you can lower the amp rate of charging in your car.
On some electric vehicles.
Teslas,
on
you can.
On most electric vehicles, I should say, because most electric vehicles are Teslas. So, but yeah, I think that's an interesting point, because we usually talk about like, oh, fast charging is bad, but it's interesting to think that there's a difference between level 1 and level 2.
Yeah. So, I mean, this taught me a couple things that I kind of already knew, but just reinforced it, which is, yeah, it doesn't really matter if your car sits a lot or you don't drive a lot. And if you charge at the lowest possible rate, that helps its battery as well.
So I think that if you like pull in at home and you have a fairly high state of charge and you know that you would be able to charge up overnight at a lower rate, you
just
might want to do that.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. I mean, leaves a lot of room for you to accidentally leave it at charging at 4 amps, and then you come back the next day and you're like, oh, I only got 10 miles.
Oh, no.
All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw!
the Cybertruck Roundup.
Elon Musk reposted this from Tesla. An apocalypse of Cybertrucks performs epic synchronized light show in Las Vegas.
Now, we can't play the music, unfortunately. But if you were wondering what a group of Cybertrucks is called, it's an apocalypse. I was driving around the other day and I saw another Cybertruck and I was in my Cybertruck. Is a pair of Cybertrucks an apocalypse, or does it have to be more than two? More than three?
Comment down below. How many is it before you get an apocalypse?
What's less than an apocalypse? A cataclysm? Is that what three is? And it's just a crisis when there's two next to each other?
So remember back in August, we reported on Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov, who posted that Elon gave him a Cybertruck.
Yeah, Elon denied that he gave it to him. And then he said that he can't believe that anyone would believe that.
Right, because Elon didn't give him a Cybertruck. Well, now Kadyrov is probably wishing he didn't post that because Elon has disabled his Cybertruck. Politico is reporting that Kadyrov now says, quote, Elon Musk behaved badly. He gives expensive gifts from the bottom of his heart and then remotely disconnects them. That's not manly. How could you do that, Elon?
And it appears that Kadyrov got his hands on a couple more Cybertrucks.
Maybe Elon will shut those off as well.
Yeah, pretty easy to locate. I just wonder if Tesla can send an over-the-air update without the owner's consent.
I'll bet they can and they will.
So what do you guys think? Do you think that Elon will shut these two Cybertrucks down as well?
Yeah, let us know in the comments. I mean, I think in general, they're not going to send an over-the-air update to your car unless you allow it. But I feel like when Tesla wants to do it, there's probably a secret little button in the code that they can enact.
Well, yeah. So you have a guy, not very good guy, who I love the doublespeak he gets to do. And is that he gives me an expensive gift from the bottom of his heart, which he denied giving me. And then he disables it, which would go along with him not actually giving it to you. Wow. Russian propaganda, man. That's a trip.
Rapper DaBaby just released his new album with Cybertruck on the cover. He has 35 million monthly listeners, and his most viewed video on YouTube has over 500 million views. Also, rapper Meek Mill just released his new song over the weekend called Cybertruck.
And Elon posted with the double fire emoji.
I listened to the song, by the way.
Does he talk about Cybertruck?
He does mention it, yes, in the middle of the song.
Okay, but it's not like...
It didn't seem like it was about Cybertruck, but I don't know.
Riding around town in my Cybertruck.
Tesla Experience Mexico posted that deliveries of the Cybertruck in Mexico are approaching. Images taken in Guadalajara, Mexico on Tuesday, September 10th. Now, this is unconfirmed, but it could be true, which would be awesome.
And Siddhant Awasthi, Tesla's Cybertruck vehicle program manager, responded to Sawyer Merritt when he posted. He said, news, Cybertruck deliveries in Canada likely to start in late October.
And Siddhant said, late October likely. So that kind of confirms it. So we don't know exactly if that's true about Mexico, but it does sound like Canada for sure. So that's exciting. All of North America could have Cybertrucks soon.
Well, not all of North America. There's more countries in North America than just Canada and Mexico, Zach.
What am I missing?
Guatemala, Panama.
Oh, I thought those are in Central America.
Whatever.
And it appears that Tesla is building a cyber bear statue at their Palo Alto, California facility. This is a rendering from the Palo Alto Department of Planning and Development. According to the filing, Tesla is proposing installing a new sculpture at 3000 Hanover along the Page, Mill, and Hanover intersection. The proposed sculpture design was developed in-house and is a product of multidisciplinary collaboration within Tesla. The concept is a stylized, low-poly California grizzly bear meant to combine Tesla's design language with California's grizzly bear and highlight the common message of strength and unyielding resistance. And we should mention this has not been approved yet. So if you want to go to that planning board meeting and give them your input. But look, it's going to have LED lighting and going to look pretty cool.
Neat. So you have the bull statue on Wall Street and then you have the bear statue over in California.
Yeah.
Is that a dig at California, the bear?
I don't know. I mean,
it is their state creature.
Which state has the owl? Because then we could do the cyber owl for them.
Ooh. Let us know in the comments. Yeah. I'm sure you guys know. I'm sure there's plenty of states where the state bird is the owl, but I wonder if there's like a state that is like especially owl-like.
It's always fun to learn like what a state sandwich is and stuff like that. Hey, and if you want to learn this and more, head on over to the Cybertruck Owners Club. They help sponsor our show. Thank you so much, guys. And there's so much cool information about Cybertruck there, along with their reservation tracker, so you can find out when you're getting your Cybertruck. All right, so what is the main problem with a bicycle?
A bicycle. It's got two wheels, and that means that it's inherently unstable.
Yeah, and as you get older, the last thing you want to worry about is falling over, right? And that is why we're excited to review the Mooncool TK1 e-trike on Now Let's Review this week.
Tri, meaning three wheels, which means that it's way more stable than a two-wheeled e-bike.
Now, to be honest, I got excited about e-trikes a couple of years ago as a potential solution for friends and family of ours that wanted to go biking but either didn't have the muscles or the reflexes to ride an e-bike reliably and safely.
Because one accident can put you in the hospital.
But the first e-trike we reviewed wasn't very stable, which was surprising because I thought, how could it not be stable?
But it turns out with physics, the devil is in the details. If the center of gravity is too high, or the motor is in the wrong place, or if you don't have a differential, you can still tip a trike.
But the Mooncool TK1 addressed all these design issues, and we think they got it right. So what makes the Mooncool so stable is, first off, its low center of gravity.
They achieved this by using 20-inch wheels instead of the typical 24 or 26-inch wheels.
They're perfect because they're 3-inch fat tires for awesome grip, but not that 4-inch fat tire, which kind of looks scary when it's on the road.
And the lowered seating position and step-through frame makes it much easier to get in and out of, which I really appreciate.
Then Mooncool moved the motor to between the crank and the wheels and added a differential, which is way better than the typical e-trike with a motor on the front wheel.
Those e-trikes can pull you into a tip, and that is not what you want.
Yeah, so many of these lower-end e-trikes, they seem to just slap on a third wheel onto the e-bike that they make, and then they call it a day.
With Mooncool's differential, if either one of the rear wheels loses contact with the ground, which would happen if you're starting to flip, then the power transfers only to the wheel that's in the air, which prevents you from powering into the tip.
So many other cool features on the Mooncool, so go check them out on our full review of the Mooncool TK1 e-trike, and this could be the answer that you've been looking for. If you've been looking for some kind of stable e-bike to go for rides with your family, I think this is it.
And thank you to Mooncool for sponsoring today's show.
So Elon Musk tweeted, "Shanghai just experienced the most powerful typhoon in 75 years. Best wishes for the resilient and resourceful people of Shanghai. I have asked our Tesla Shanghai team to help anyone in distress to the best of our ability." And Shanghai was brought to a standstill for 4 days last week when Typhoon Babinka hit on September 16th with peak winds of 80 miles an hour, which is equivalent to like a Category 1 Atlantic hurricane.
400,000 people were evacuated from the Shanghai metro district, hundreds of flights were canceled, and Shanghai's 25 million residents were advised to stay at home.
And so we're probably going to see a little blip in Tesla Shanghai numbers in next month's data just because they probably were not able to get to work for a few days.
It's all Elon's fault, and demand is lower now.
The Department of Energy has so far awarded 14 grants totaling $1.82 billion to companies to build out manufacturing projects in the U.S.
Companies like Albemarle is getting $67 million for a project in North Carolina to produce anode materials for lithium-ion batteries.
Honeywell got $126 million to build a factory in Louisiana that makes electrolyte salts for lithium-ion batteries.
Dow is getting $100 million to produce battery-grade carbonate solvents for its electrolytes used in, you guessed it, lithium-ion batteries.
And Clarios Circular Solutions, in partnership with Korea's SK On and Cosmo Chemical, will get $150 million for a project in South Carolina.
Now the Department of Energy just announced they are increasing the program to $3 billion for 25 projects, and they claim it will generate $16 billion in total investment and create 12,000 production and construction jobs.
Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm said these investments are going to help battery manufacturers meet the growing demand for U.S.-made electric vehicles and to help our grid store the record new amounts of wind and solar that are coming online. And I don't know. I'm not sure how to feel about this. We did a Patreon poll this week, so we'll see how our patrons feel. I just feel like these companies that they mentioned, Dow, Honeywell, I don't recall them being big battery manufacturing companies. It feels like a money grab to me.
Right. Nor do they really ring as like small startup companies that need help starting their companies. So yeah, it's kind of like,
hey, I'm a big fat cat down at Dow Chemical, and I know how we're going to get $100 million. Get the grant department working on that. I'm friends with Jenny Granholm.
What can we make that goes in a battery? I know. Electrolytes.
That crap that we have when we're producing all of our other chemicals? You mean they want that crap?
I don't know. That's just what it feels like to me, but...
I mean, I know I should be happy because it sounds like good news.
You know, when they say 12,000 production and construction jobs are great, but they are temporary. So it's kind of, I don't know... incorrect to lump together production, which is going to be like the people that work there for the next 25 years, and construction jobs, which
are there for 2 years.
They're going to be there for two, maybe three, maybe 4 years as they're building the buildings.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see how the patrons feel about it later. All right, it's time for some SpaceX news. Let's go to our buddy Eli.
Welcome back to the Starman Report. I'm Eli Burton, your host, and let's dive in. Our first story this week lit up the skies off the Florida coast as the Crew Dragon Resilience, carrying the astronauts of the Polaris Dawn mission, made a spectacular splashdown. Returning in the early morning of Sunday, September 15th, this mission not only reached the highest altitude by a crewed spacecraft since 1972, but also marked the first commercial spacewalk in history. After landing, the recovery ship Shannon was right there in the Gulf to greet them, ensuring a safe return. The Polaris Dawn mission wasn't all just about floating in space. The crew also completed 40 different science experiments while up in orbit. These experiments range from studying space adaptation syndrome to streaming a violin performance via Starlink. Yes, you heard that right. Commercial astronaut Gillis treated the cosmos to Rey's theme from Star Wars, The Force Awakens. And Isaacman's glimpse outside the spacewalk summed it up perfectly.
SpaceX, back at home, we all have a lot of work to do, but from here, Earth sure looks like a perfect world.
And indeed, for a moment, it must have been. Next up, we're turning our eyes to the moon, or more precisely, the far side of the moon. Chinese Chang'e 6 mission has brought back fascinating insights from this uncharted territory. The samples reveal a richer variety of materials like feldspar and glass, possibly flung from distant impacts on the moon's surface. Notably, these samples have less creep. And no, I don't mean creepy, I mean K-R-E-E-P. This is a lunar rock type enriched with potassium, rare earth elements, and phosphorus. These discoveries are important because they shed light on the moon's volcanic activity and its historic evolution, both of which offer a deeper insight into the solar system's impact history. And speaking of moon mysteries, the NASA Artemis program is not just about putting astronauts back on the moon for the first time since Apollo. It is also about innovating how we explore. The Lunar Navigation Challenge is now ongoing and open for your brilliant ideas on how to help Artemis astronauts traverse the lunar South Pole's tricky terrain. The challenge asks that you imagine and create the design for a device that works in extreme conditions without power of electronics, helping astronauts navigate steep cliffs and boulders in the permanently shadowed regions like the Shackleton Crater. This is your chance to contribute directly to the next era of lunar exploration, and you can find the full details at freelancer.com. Well, guys, that's all for this time. Thank you so much for watching this week's episode of the Starman Report, and I look forward to having you back for more of the most exciting news in space.
Thanks, Eli.
And you know what? Next week, Eli's going to be reporting from Florida.
Nice.
That's going to be awesome. But there's more SpaceX news. Let's go to Starlink in Poland. Alex says Starlink systems are being deployed by the Polish government to restore critical connectivity for emergency services as southern Poland faces devastating floods.
Okay, so those first two pictures, wow, I mean, the water went up. But where's that third picture from?
It's the same place.
Oh.
It's showing over time how the water came and just covered everything.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so we don't have exact numbers for the number of Starlink users in Poland, but the worldwide growth is astounding. Okay, so get this. December 2022, there was 1 million users worldwide. And by May of 24, there are 3 million users. It's even higher now.
Wow.
Elon says Starlink in Nairobi. This is Nairobi City Hall now with Starlink.
The CEO of AirBaltic posted, "We are on track to deliver high-speed internet for free together with Starlink as the first airline in Europe soon. Stay tuned."
And Elon said, "Cool."
Cool.
Elon then posted Starlink available in Yemen.
Well, then I guess I'm going to Yemen.
Regent Seven Seas Cruises, which I didn't know this, but it's the world's leading ultra luxury cruise line, has installed Starlink on all six of its ships, offering its guests high speed unlimited Wi-Fi.
Elon says you can play real time video games on Starlink, whereas that is impossible with geostationary satellites that are roughly 50 times farther away. Speed of light is the law.
And for now it is.
I don't know who's going on a cruise and He's going to be like, I'm going to be in my cabin playing video games.
I don't want to look outside. Alex posted, Starlink's Doppler-only positioning can provide accurate positioning, navigation, and timing information and serve as viable alternative to the GPS system. Researchers at Virginia Polytech Institute not only showed that, on average, at least 5 satellites are in view from virtually anywhere on Earth, but also that the spatial diversity achieved with 4 satellites is compared to what can be achieved with 8.
So Starlink is GPS now?
Can be used that way, I guess. Isn't that cool?
Whoa. Yeah, that's kind of
just a little
crazy
news tidbit.
Just whatever.
Wow. So the FAA announced last week that they're proposing $633,000 in civil penalties against SpaceX for allegedly failing to follow its license requirements during 2 launches in 2023.
What were the license requirements that SpaceX failed to follow?
So in May of 23, SpaceX submitted a request to revise its communications plan at the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, including adding a new launch control room at Hangar X and removing the T-2-hour readiness pole from its procedures. Then a month later, on June 18th, SpaceX used the unapproved launch control room and did not conduct the required T-2 pole. So the FAA is proposing $175,000 civil penalty for each alleged violation. Then in July of 23, SpaceX submitted a request to revise its explosive site plan at the Kennedy Space Center, which included a newly constructed rocket propellant farm. Later that month, SpaceX used the unapproved rocket propellant farm for the EchoStar 24 Jupiter mission. The FAA is proposing a $283,009 civil penalty for that.
Okay, so $633,009 in civil fines proposed by the FAA. What's the next step?
The FAA says that SpaceX has 30 days to respond.
So SpaceX has 30 days to respond, but the FAA didn't have to respond before when SpaceX proposed something and then they got to take all the time in the world to not approve it?
Right. I mean, like, I'm a building contractor, right, in a previous life. And uh-huh. when you apply for a permit, you have a certain number of days that the town has to give you that permit. They can't just hold on forever. And then you just basically start work if they haven't issued the permit.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, most towns do it that way because they don't want to stop you. And it gives the town the incentive to get the job done.
Right. Because otherwise you could just be like, oh, that guy's on vacation. So nothing gets built.
Right.
So I guess they were just like, oh, put that on Larry's desk. He's on vacation and we won't have to fulfill it. And then we'll prevent SpaceX from launching. Great. So did SpaceX respond?
Elon did. He said, more lawfare. SpaceX will be filing suit against the FAA for regulatory overreach. He went on to say, NASA puts their faith in SpaceX for all astronaut transport to and from the space station, but somehow FAA leadership thinks they know better. I'm highly confident that Discovery will show improper, politically motivated behavior by the FAA. Amazingly, no Starliner fines for Boeing. The FAA Space Division is harassing SpaceX about nonsense that doesn't affect safety while giving a free pass to Boeing even after NASA concluded that the spacecraft was not safe enough to bring back the astronauts. Marcus Howe says, reading the details, it's pretty clear that SpaceX wishes to upgrade and move faster than the FAA can approve. It causes constant tension. This fine is almost a rounding error, but that isn't the point. What do you think and what's the solution?
Elon said the fundamental problem is that humanity will forever be confined to Earth unless there is radical reform at the FAA. So when you're like, why does Elon take this stuff so seriously? It's because he's not just running a company. He, at least he believes, and I also believe him, that he is saving humanity from global extinction.
SpaceX has responded, by the way, in a 4-page letter, and I'm not going to read it all, but SpaceX claims that they, quote, provided the Office of Commercial Space Transportation with sufficient notice of these relatively minor license updates, which had no bearing on public safety. And if you read SpaceX's letter, which I urge you to do, you get the real sense that the FAA was just looking for things to complain about. This wasn't anything that affected safety. Nothing went wrong. No one got hurt. This was just like,
how can we find that we'll get SpaceX in trouble?
Why is Yoda?
Yoda's on
works
the
for the FAA.
I'll get you.
I can't get back to the voice.
Not fly, you will. Grounded, you are. Paperwork hold you up, it will.
Eric Berger posted, just want to point out that it's wild the European Union just launched some of its most valuable satellites, 2 Galileo spacecraft, on a Falcon 9 rocket, making its 22nd flight, unimaginable even 2 or 3 years ago.
Elon said, if the rest of the year goes well, SpaceX will deliver roughly 90% of all Earth's payload to orbit. China will do 6%. The rest of the world combined will do roughly 4%.
And I just want to point out that part about the rocket being its 22nd flight. This is the reusability part. That rocket has been in orbit 22 times.
The first stage has flown 22 times.
SpaceX then posted the Falcon 9 launches our 90th mission of the year. And then Elon said Flight 5 is built and ready to fly. He's talking about Starship here. Flight 6 will be ready to fly before Flight 5 even gets approved by the FAA. And then SpaceX posted the 6-engine static fire of Flight 6 Starship.
So I guess instead of saying, hey guys, come on, it's not that complicated, it's not rocket science, we should say, hey guys, it's not that complicated, it's not filing bureaucracy with the FAA.
And then SpaceX posted liftoff. Not long before the Starlink direct-to-cell communication constellation is active. So there are now more than 200 direct-to-cell Starlink satellites in low Earth orbit. There should be 300 very, very soon. And if you're wondering how the newer Starlink antennas work, since they don't turn to follow the satellites anymore, those on the left are the old Dishy McFlat faces, the round ones that move. On the right, those are the thin new ones. And so Elon explains.
We now have enough satellites that exact orientation is less important, as the probability that a satellite is directly overhead is very high. That's cool. You get to make the things on the ground less complicated because you launch so many satellites.
And in the more lawfare against Elon news, the Securities and Exchange Commission announced last Friday that they are seeking sanctions against Elon Musk after he failed to appear for testimony in their probe of his acquisition of Twitter.
Elon responded saying, "This was our highest risk astronaut mission ever, and I have responsibility for their safety. The weather constraints on this mission are also extremely high and only cleared that night. I had to make a go versus no go decision. Their lives came first."
So the SEC has issued a subpoena for Elon to testify again into questions about Elon's tweets before, during, and after the Twitter acquisition process, because the SEC is contending that Elon misled investors about his involvement with Twitter.
Elon's attorneys are arguing that the subpoenas are not valid. The SEC is also examining whether Elon complied with securities laws regarding the disclosure of his Twitter stock purchases.
So Elon then posted, "While actual crimes go unpunished." And here's how Elon explains the SEC in 60 seconds.
"Not once did the SEC go after any of the hedge funds who were nonstop shorting and distorting Tesla. Not once. They would lie flat. The hedge funds would lie flat out on TV for their own gain at the expense of retail investors. Not once, literally 1,000 times, not once did the SEC pursue them."
How do you explain this failure? And
the incentive structure is messed up, because the lawyers at the SEC are not paid well. It's a fairly low-paying job. But what they're looking for is a trophy from the SEC. That they're looking for something they put on, basically their LinkedIn.
Yeah.
From that, they can get a job at a high-paying law firm. That's exactly what the lawyer here did. And the reason they don't attack the hedge funds is because those hedge funds employ those law firms. And they know if they attack the hedge funds, they're affecting their future career prospects. So they sell small investors down the river for their own career. That's what actually happens. Regulatory capture. Yeah, not good.
Chris Bergen posted, "I like this shot full screen. The facilities have grown exponentially, but they still have relatively small footprints when you look at this view. Kind of makes a mockery of the 'SpaceX has decimated the area' headlines."
Elon said, "Yeah, it's absurd."
And SpaceX posted that Flight 5 Starship moved to the pad at Starbase. And Elon said,
"Starships were meant to fly," which is a Katy Perry, Lady Gaga song?
I don't know.
"Starships were meant to fly. Please don't copyright this episode."
SpaceX posted Starbase Tower lifts the Super Heavy booster for Flight 5 to expected catch height.
Elon said Starship Super Heavy booster held at catch height. So just in case you're wondering, the first stage of the Super Heavy rocket that is going to take the Starship into orbit is going to come back and not land, but be caught by Mechazilla, which is the giant tower.
RGV aerial photography said ship 30 and booster 12 full stack flyover.
And Elon said, "Let's go."
And Elon said Starship Super Heavy booster flight 4, so this is the one that landed in the ocean, looks like the ruins of a futuristic long dead civilization.
Elon said starships will get much bigger in the future.
Oh man. And speaking of SpaceX, if you want to read one of the best accounts of how SpaceX got to where it is today, I cannot recommend enough Reentry, by Eric Berger.
We just interviewed Eric Berger on In Depth and had a really fun discussion about how he researched the book and how some of the stories from his book happened.
Yeah, Reentry is a wonderful read, and it is now available. It's right, it's out, which is
as of today.
Which is awesome.
So go get it today. I'm serious.
It's also a great gift. So he wrote Liftoff, which is the beginnings of SpaceX. And now Reentry brings us from that point when they almost didn't make it to basically a year ago. And there's some just amazing stories in there. He got access to so many people at SpaceX and just there's stuff you wouldn't have found out about, I don't think, any other way.
I would say that this is a great gift for anyone who's interested in space at all. They do not have to be SpaceX fans.
You don't have to be an engineer either.
It's a great read. I highly recommend it. You can check out our interview if you don't believe me. go buy it. It's a great thing to have on your bookshelf.
And it's a really fun interview. Eric's such a great guy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Refresh your home today at Menards with window images, blinds, and shades. We have everything you need for updating your window treatments. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Save big on window treatments at Menards. Plus, get them cut to width in-store for free. Visit Menards.com and view our entire selection of window treatments today. Plus, the weekly flyer and other great deals going on now. Save big money at Menards. It's easy to create your dream kitchen with Clearview Cabinetry at Menards. With multiple finishes to choose from, you'll be sure to find a style that fits perfect for you. Clearview Cabinetry offers features like soft closed doors and drawers as standard and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Explore Clearview's cabinet options and start designing today in store or on Menards.com, where you can find more of our great deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. It's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving. Escape into the
future. If you'd like to get a Henson razor, you can use our code Now You Know, and when you check out, you will get 200 blades. This is 5 blades for scale. You will get 100 blades. Head on over to HensonShaving.com. If you use the code Now You Know at checkout, you will get 100 free blades. This is the razor, and this is 5 blades. You will get 100 blades, which should last you well over a year. Depending on how often you shave, that could last you like 3 years of shaving, all from one purchase, which is pretty, really nice. Tesla has launched a new Schedule a Drive page on their website where customers can not only schedule a test drive of the whole cyber sexy lineup, but also experience full self-driving.
This is so smart because for the longest time, I've talked with people who are like,
how do I get to actually experience the vehicle?
Well, now having it spelled out on the website where you can actually schedule a time that's convenient for you is huge, because I think a lot of people don't want to go down to a store and wait in line and like, oh, the guy you need isn't here today or the car isn't ready. You want to know that when you get there, your time is valuable, mm-hmm. that the car will be ready. And the Cybertruck can now be test driven, which is going to be super powerful for keeping demand up, because let's face it, you don't understand a Tesla until you experience it for yourself.
Absolutely.
If you have not experienced a Tesla, by the way, you're watching the show and you're like, I'd like to, then go do it.
You know, even if you're on board with Tesla, but you've never driven one, even if you've, I don't know, if you're really young and you can't drive a car, this, you can get your parents to do it for you.
Or have FSD do it for you.
Well, I do wonder if the, will the employees drive you around?
I think you probably
can't book it if you're too young to buy a car.
I'm sure.
But I don't know. This would be good for like a birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I know. It's an event.
Don't you think? I don't know. Just an idea.
And one of the things that many truck drivers have asked about with the Tesla semi truck is the fact that we haven't seen a sleeper cab.
Yeah, when you're doing long range trucking, the driver needs a place to sleep. But the semi so far doesn't seem to have that feature.
But as we look to the future, Tesla Semi, which was shown off in Europe last week, as we talked about at the IAA Transportation Conference, they revealed that they've been planning for this. So as we can see here from the EV Universe on X, I learned a few new things checking out the very first Tesla Semi in Europe today.
So what are we looking at?
John reports that Tesla engineers told him that they're already designing the Tesla Semi with the sleeper cab in mind, and that they're keeping the space for it within the metal frame, as you can see here.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, because basically, so far, we've only kind of thought of it as a short-range truck, like a, you know, daily truck, but you need a cab if you're going to do long-range travel. And now they're revealing that basically they had that in mind the whole time. They just haven't played it out. And it makes sense. I mean, they wanted to get it tested first and make sure it all worked. Why put all the money into the expensive cab part if you're not going to actually be selling those yet?
Hey, if you're a trucker who watches this show, I know that there are at least a few of you, post in the comments below what kind of features you think that they could offer in the Tesla Semi that might be a better, like an upgrade to what you currently have in your trucks. Either, well,
I mean, what I've heard from truckers is normally you, if it's cold out, for instance, you have to keep the truck running if you want to have heat or electricity, if you want to watch a movie or do all those kind of things. Whereas here, I mean, yes, the truck is on technically, but it wouldn't be running. And the Boring Company has shown a cameo of their latest tunnel boring machine, Prüfrock 5.
The Boring Company posted Prüfrock 4 lighting test inside Boring Factory with a subtle cameo by Prüfrock 5.
All right, so Prüfrock 4 started testing in August at the Boring Company's Bastrop, Texas factory. We have not really seen it before. This is one of the first times. So Prüfrock 4 is 308 feet long, as you're seeing here, weighs 797,000 pounds, and produces up to 4.7 million pounds of thrust.
So let me get this straight. Prüfrock 3 is what we've been seeing tunneling lately in Las Vegas.
Correct.
Okay.
So to give you some context here, Prüfrock 2, we've seen a lot of. They've done a lot of tunneling in Las Vegas and other places. That tunnels at 1 mile a week.
Okay.
Prüfrock 3, which we just talked about in Las Vegas, it goes faster than 1 mile a week. Its aspirational goal, which they haven't achieved yet, is 7 miles a day. And we don't yet know about Prüfrock 4 or Prüfrock 5 and their goals.
So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
It is exciting. It's, I think it's hard for people because it's not like you're going to get the opportunity to drive this. This is sort of like, you know, I want to drive the Zamboni. You're not really going to normally get an opportunity to drive it. And even if you did, no one's going to see you doing it because you're underground.
But I mean, maybe it'll be driven like above ground at some point. Like maybe you'll just have a joystick.
I mean, it's got to be in pieces. You know, I think that this is like, it's a very specialized piece of equipment. So it's harder for people to get excited about because you don't see it shooting up into space. It's going to be tunneling relatively slowly underground.
But I think when it's going at 7 miles a day, I think it's actually going to get exciting because then projects won't be so glacial. I mean, what makes a construction project bad for most people is that they don't really see it happening fast. You know, and that's why it's so exciting when you see like a time lapse of a building going up or something. When you see 7 miles being tunneled in a day and it's like, wait, where is it now? It's over there.
Here's the problem though. You don't see it. You just look at the ground and you go,
yeah, it looks like the ground. This is what I saw yesterday.
But what I mean is those tunnels are going to open faster and faster.
Yeah, I know.
And it's going to get exciting.
And they'll get cheaper.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Going Green. So according to data from Singapore's Land Transport Authority, the Tesla Model 3 was Singapore's best-selling sedan in August.
And that includes ICE sedans as well?
It does. Here's the data. You can see that Tesla sold 186 Model 3s in Singapore in August, which actually outsold the Model Y at 122 units sold in August.
Now, I know that Singapore isn't a huge car market. They have only had 972 sedans sold in August, but that would mean that one in five sedans sold there in August were Tesla Model 3s.
Yes, and Teslas account for 7.8% of the car market in Singapore in August. And I mean, they just entered the market and now they're basically taking over.
Wow. You may remember that we interviewed the co-founder and CEO of Climatize, Will Wiseman, earlier this year.
He co-founded Climatize as a way for individuals like you to have access to solar energy projects that are raising funds.
Their team just launched the web version of their platform, which means that you don't need to download an app to explore the projects and potentially invest. You simply go to climatize.earth/NYK.
So the way it works is you can go to the Climatize website, you set up an account. If you choose to invest, you can do this with as little as $10. There are no investor fees, and this is open to all U.S. bank account holders over the age of 18. You don't need to be an accredited investor or anything special.
You can look through their investment offerings and choose a project you'd like to support.
Investment offerings on their platform have the ability to pay, get this, up to a 10% annual target return.
Yes, you heard right. You can potentially earn up to a 10% annual return, and you're investing your money into solar energy projects across the U.S.
Did we get your attention? I thought so.
Use our referral code NYK023 to get $25 in free credits once you complete your onboarding process.
So check them out, but kindly remember that we are not financial advisors. This is not a solicitation to invest, and all investments carry risks. So please consult with a professional before making any financial decisions.
Thank you to Climatize for sponsoring our show.
All right, it's time for sunspots. So if you live in Maryland, listen up.
I'm listening.
Maryland's Solar Canopy and Dual Use Technology Grant Program is now accepting applications for 2024.
Okay, so what will this do?
They give grants up to $400,000 to install solar canopies over parking lots and parking garages.
Oh, okay. So like for schools?
Yes, but even more than that, they will grant up to $550,000 for projects that provide power to microgrids that support more than one critical community business.
Like what?
Like a grocery store or hardware store or pharmacy. So if you're a business, a public university, a nonprofit, a local or state government in Maryland, apply. There is $4.8 million available in the fund. The application period ends October 23rd. And I'm really talking here, I think, to schools. Mm. I think a lot of you at schools would love to do solar canopies over your parking lot, but you're like, I don't know how to begin and I don't have any money. Maryland will pretty much pay for it.
Wow.
So yeah. Contact them. Also, contact any solar nonprofits in your state because I'm sure they know about it and they can help you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really exciting. I love the microgrid part. That's really smart.
Yeah, really smart. And I'd like to talk for a minute about warehouse roofs and incentives.
Warehouse roofs and incentives. I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the sunspot segment of the show right now, so it's pretty obvious, right? Warehouse roofs, they generally look like this.
Yeah, big, empty, flattish surfaces.
And there's a lot of them. I mean, if we look at the UK, for instance, a place where sun doesn't immediately jump to mind. Did you know that as of last year, there are approximately 423,000 warehouses in the UK? That is up 35% since 2018. We're talking 690 million square feet or 64 million square meters of warehouse roofs. Yeah, big numbers. Okay, how about if I put that in terms of football fields for some of our audience? That's almost 12,000 football fields.
American football fields.
Right, or for the rest of the world, that's over 10,000 soccer fields.
Or football fields for you non-Americans. So 10,000 soccer pitches, football pitches?
Let me just put this in a different term for you. Picture that's over half the city of Boston in warehouse roofs.
Boston, America.
Boston, America.
For you Europeans.
So warehouses account for one third of UK commercial roof space, and yet currently only 5% of them have solar panels installed on them.
Why is that? Why do so few of these places that would be easy to install solar panels have solar panels?
Well, that gets to the incentive part. I believe it's because of incentives or lack of incentives. You see, who owns the warehouses?
Private companies for the most part.
Right. And who provides the electricity?
Power utilities like National Grid.
And that leads to the next set of facts. If these warehouses in the UK installed solar panels on their roof, they could contribute half of the UK's electricity needs. This would not only reduce air pollution emissions by 2 million tons of CO2 per year, this would also deliver annual savings on electricity costs for the average person in the UK of up to $4 billion.
Cash money, if you don't mind.
Okay, so let's start doing that. Why haven't they done that yet? Well, incentivize it.
It goes back to incentives, right? National Grid and the other big six power utilities in the UK, they would lose $4 billion a year. So they have no incentive to work with companies that own warehouses to install solar panels and batteries. And the companies that own the warehouses, they're busy doing whatever warehouses do, right? They're moving stuff around, making stuff, selling stuff. They aren't in the solar power business. And ever since there have been warehouses, there have been empty warehouse roofs. They don't think there's any incentive to install solar on them. Each warehouse owner would need to be convinced that it's in their best interest to take on a project like this.
Right.
What if the solar panels blow off my roof? What if it's cloudy for 2 weeks? What if this? What if that?
Exactly. Business owners are risk averse, and most of them don't even know that this is a viable option, let alone that they could profit from it after just a few years.
But then why doesn't the government step in and incentivize it?
Because who controls most governments?
The solar lobby?
No. Big oil. Spends hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbying.
Wait, what does this say? $133 million last year? And 64% of oil lobbyists are former government employees?
Yeah, why do you think big oil has to spend all that money on lobbyists?
To slow down the transition of renewable energy?
Exactly. Every year that big oil can keep you burning their products is another year of profits for them. When we finally embrace solar, wind, and batteries, we will no longer need them. Because again, the sun doesn't charge for coming up every day. Hey, and if you'd like to get solar on your roof, but you, like the warehouse industry, don't know much about it, talk to our friends at EnergyPal because they know everything about it and they'll help you go solar for less. Let them know Zach and Jesse sent you. The link is down below. All right, we're back from Patreon bonus stories. It's time for the poll.
So what are your thoughts on the latest Department of Energy grants?
Ooh, overwhelming.
Most people are in favor of it. 16% don't care, and only 9% of people are not in favor of it. I mean, I get it.
I mean, they're going to spend, you know, the government spends a lot of money on all sorts of stuff. Of course. I guess it is better to spend it on
batteries. What's $3 billion?
Who cares? Who cares?
I mean, it's for stuff that we actually want. Okay.
All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the Week. So Elon reposted this from Bill Ackman, and this is to Bob Iger, who's the CEO of Disney, which owns ABC. And he said, "Dear Bob, I assume that you've been made aware of this affidavit, which was made public earlier today, in which a whistleblower states that ABC worked closely with the Kamala Harris campaign in sharing the substance of the questions during the debate."
Alex posted, "News, Canada's Minister of Industry, François-Philippe Champagne, which is the Frenchest name I've ever heard, is calling an offer from Elon Musk to provide Canadians with cheap internet access nonsense after Elon Musk said that he could get the job done with Starlink at less than half the cost of the federal government's plan."
And Elon said, "I'm willing to say firmed fixed price, but I think the reality is that they just want their own system."
François-Philippe Champagne. If I came up with that and made a French-Canadian character, people would say that I was being insensitive.
"You're being stereotypical." Elon then said, "Giga Texas, Tesla headquarters." He's now got the three flags flying. Former editor of the New York Times, Barry Weiss, posted, "If the American political scene is divided between the liberal establishment, the domain of Dick and Liz Cheney and Kamala Harris, and the renegade rebel alliance, which includes Donald Trump, RFK Jr., and Tulsi Gabbard, this conference represents the intelligentsia."
Elon said, "The establishment is the party in power. Whatever one wants to call them, they control the presidency, the press, and government institutions, and therefore are, by definition, the system, machine, etc. They are the empire, not the rebel alliance."
And Barry says, "Yes, the reporting in this piece makes exactly that case." Speaker Mike Johnson says Congress has an immediate obligation to do two things: responsibly fund the federal government and ensure the security of our elections. Because we owe this to our constituents, we will move forward on Wednesday with a vote on the six-month CR with the SAVE Act attached.
Elon said the fate of America may depend on this vote.
Congressman Thomas Massie said, "Mike Lee is sincere, but it's a total bait and switch on the part of the Republican uniparty leadership in the House. Mike Johnson already has a plan to cave, leaving us with a bill that doesn't cut one penny of spending. I explain it here."
Elon says, "I hope you were wrong."
Andrea Stropa says, "Loyal friends are hidden gems."
And Elon said, 100%.
Hassan says, "Remember, the world saw zero wars during Trump's era."
And Elon said, "Exactly."
Jason DeBolt says Raptor 4 will be just an hourglass shape with two inverted cones, a combustion chamber, and a thrust nozzle.
Elon says there is definitely a lot of room for improvement of Raptor 3, but now the fundamental architecture is right.
Elon then said, "Forgiveness is essential to end an infinite cycle of retribution. There's great wisdom in turning the other cheek, although it must be combined with the strength to enforce an end to retribution." Mario Nafal says Bernie wants to make Ozempic cheap for everyone.
And Elon says, "Isn't there a generic version that costs much less? Solving obesity greatly reduces risks of other diseases, especially diabetes, and improves quality of life. We do need to find a way to make appetite inhibitors available to anyone who wants them. I don't agree with Bernie about many things, but I do on this."
And Chamath Palihapitiya says, "Me too. The active ingredient is available and can be manufactured into semaglutide cheaply in the U.S., but you need both federal and state licenses. I'm an investor in a California firm that has gotten the federal license, but we're still waiting for the California license. Has taken almost a year."
Shrug emoji.
Mario says, "NASA tracks stadium-sized asteroid flying relatively close to Earth."
Elon says, "One of these days, a large comet will hit Earth and destroy almost all life, as has happened many times in the past. Eventually, the sun will expand enough to boil the oceans and destroy all life. Either become a spacefaring civilization or die. Those are the two choices."
And he said, "You're not going to believe this, but Gavin Newsom just announced that he signed a law to make parody illegal based on this video."
Elon says, "The Post says parody in all caps. So is he going to throw Saturday Night Live in jail or what?"
And this is, of course, because of the Kamala Harris campaign ad parody. And Elon said the governor of California just made this parody video illegal in violation of the Constitution of the United States. Would be a shame if it went viral.
Ian Miles Chong said, oh no, he's going to put you in meme prison.
Elon said, at least my cellmates in meme prison will have a sense of humor. They are actually trying to make posting memes illegal. Vote them out. Doge Designer says, breaking, the video that offended California Governor Gavin Newsom is now trending on X. Fate loves irony.
Elon said, like the time Streisand sued someone for revealing her super obvious address in Malibu. That really kept a lid on it. LMAO.
Kathy Wood says, unconstitutional.
Elon said, very much so, but that didn't stop them.
Elon posted this poem. Atheism left an empty space. Secular religion took its place, but left the people in despair. Childless hedonism sans care. Maybe religion is not so bad to keep you from being sad. Amuse said, censorship. Thierry Breton, the EU's anti-free speech enforcer, has resigned in disgrace after his outrageous threats against Elon Musk's ex backfired spectacularly. Breton, who pushed for censorship of figures like Trump, has now faced the consequence of his own heavy-handed move.
And Elon says, bon voyage.
And Thierry says, merci. Any tickets left for Mars? I have a few ideas to regulate over there.
And Elon said, in all seriousness, SpaceX hopes to offer travel to Mars to anyone who wants to go, bearing in mind that it will be like a long sea voyage in centuries past. Dangerous and uncomfortable, but great adventure. Becoming multiplanetary ensures the long-term survival of life.
Homar's catalog says, saying that Trump needs to be elected or it's the end of the world just elicits eye rolls. Similarly, Democrats saying Kamala needs to be elected or it's the end of the world also sounds silly. Not popular, but I don't think the world will end either way.
Elon said, my prediction is that if Kamala wins, the Democrats will import and legalize enough migrants to ensure a permanent one-party rule that is increasingly socialist to a confiscatory level and repressive. Everywhere will be California, but worse. The one thing that gives California pause is that people can move to other states. What would happen if all states were ruled like California? Nowhere to move.
Kamala Wins posted, breaking. New reporting shows that not one Fortune 100 CEO supports Donald Trump or J.D. Vance.
Noah Smith says, while I don't think corporate CEOs are necessarily the people we should listen to in deciding who to vote for, I do think it's noteworthy that corporate America thinks Donald Trump would be bad for business.
For one, I endorse Trump and they know it all too well, so that statement from Kamala Wins is deliberately misleading. Second, very few corporate CEOs ever endorse a presidential candidate, so any implication that the rest of the Fortune 100 supports Kamala is false. Overwhelmingly, the corporate CEOs tell me privately that they support Trump, not Kamala. From Wikipedia, which is very left-leaning, here is a partial list of those who have publicly endorsed Trump. Steve Schwarzman is a de facto top five CEO, given that he controls $1 trillion in assets. And Ian Miles Chong says, wow, 158 Democrats voted against deporting migrant rapists and pedophiles. All Republicans voted in favor of this common sense measure.
Elon said, crazy, creepy that they would vote against this.
Natalie says, as a person living in Ohio, I can confirm a massive increase in migrants.
Elon said, I'm hearing the same thing from people in Arizona and Wisconsin. It's massive. He went on to say the Dem administrative state is flying millions of future voters directly into swing states. They are being sent to cities and towns throughout Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Arizona. Given that there is a sure path to permanent one-party rule, it is a very smart strategy. It guarantees permanent one-party Democrat rule for the whole country, just like the 1986 amnesty did in California. There will be no more swing states, a diabolical but brilliant strategy. Before 1986, California was a swing state, but after granting amnesty to 3 million illegals, it immediately became supermajority Democrat and has been so ever since.
Just in, election officials in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, have banned all mail-in ballot drop boxes from the county over concerns that they facilitate voter fraud.
Elon says they make fraud impossible to prove.
Stephen King says Elon Musk's increasingly loopy, not to mention fictional posts, have nothing to do with politics. It's an attempt to gin up interest in X. It's all about business.
And Elon said, you said X, and he was very happy. It was a joke.
Sir Doge of the Coin says, breaking, people can like and dislike different things and still be friends.
And Elon agreed.
Elon posted, just had an excellent conversation with the president of El Salvador, President Nayib Bukele. We talked a lot about the nature of reality, future of humanity, and how technology like AI and robotics will affect the world. El Salvador has an amazing leader.
And Nayib responded. He said it was a pleasure to spend several hours talking with one of the great minds of our time, Elon Musk.
And Elon said, we should live stream our next conversation. I think people would enjoy hearing it. Elon said, Grok 3 is training with 10x, soon 20x, the compute of Grok 2. And I just want to point out that it just popped onto the leaderboard. It is now number 3 out of nowhere.
Wow.
Now, this next set of a dozen tweets is Elon getting into a thing with Vinod Khosla, who is another billionaire. So Elon was talking about this conversation Vivek had with, at a town hall where a woman said that her daughter was harassed by someone with a machete. And he said, how would you feel if someone tried to hurt your daughter with a machete? Vinod says, what percentage of the population has had this happen versus percentage dealing with hate, bomb threats, and bullying by the fictitious Haitian stories and other hate fiction that Trump is knowingly lying about and spreading to divide the nation?
Elon said, how many unvetted migrants would you like sent to your neighborhood in Woodside? Last time I was there, seemed like none. You're a hypocrite. No problem that some other town has a massive influx, so long as it isn't yours.
Vinod says, I am totally against illegal immigration, and Trump is the one who stopped the bipartisan bill to stop illegal immigration, even though many conservative Republicans supported the bill. And I don't live in Woodside, too fancy for me, but amplifying nonsense is not responsible and more harm than good. I'd think you'd be above that.
Elon says, answer my question, how many unvetted illegal immigrants can we send to your town? Let's start small, how about 100?
Then he went on to say, how about we send them to that beach that you tried to stop the public from using? That was such a dick move, Vinod Defiant L. Khosla. You won't even let people use your f***ing beach, you asshole.
Vinod said, name-calling and irrelevant fictional pictures is the best you can do instead of answering the question, did Trump stop through his lobbying a strong illegal immigration bill that had strong bipartisan support?
And Elon said, I'm sending you that sign as a gift. You know you want it. And here's the sign.
Wow, so crazy that Khosla put this sign on a public beach, and he's joking.
Vinod said, the mice in Springfield are complaining that there's no reduction in cats because of the Haitians. Maybe too many cats, ladies.
Then Elon said, Vinod says we should send tens of thousands of unvetted migrants to small towns throughout America, but he didn't even want the public to walk on his beach. Then he said, I'm throwing a party on Vinod's beach for cuisine. I'm thinking barbecue. And then he went on to say, okay, so how many migrants can we send you? Stop dodging the question. Let the beach party commence, party.
And Vinod said, and you are not hypocritical on climate and Trump? And what am I hypocritical on? Very American defense of property rights? Or is it something else I'm missing? Remember, I'm an independent, not a Democrat or a Republican. There are Democrats, independents, Republicans, and then there are asshole MAGA extremists. Test election denialism. You never answered my previous question on if the election was stolen.
Elon said, no, I don't think 2020 was stolen. As all the independent voters I know, myself included, leaned towards Biden, thinking he was a milquetoast moderate, boring but moderate. Unfortunately, he turned out to be a radical leftist puppet of the machine who loves overreaching bureaucracy just like Kamala. That's why I and almost all independent voters I know are supporting Trump this time around. Now, you stop being a damn hypocrite and have some empathy for small towns throughout America getting swamped by 10,000 plus poorly vetted migrants. It's not right.
Vinod said, thank you and respect that. We'll add to my respect for your entrepreneurial achievements. Still trying to get a rational answer for which causes more crime. Illegal immigrant crimes versus hate, bomb threats, and bullying by the fictitious Haitian stories and other anti-immigrant hate fiction that Donald Trump is knowingly spreading to divide the nation.
Elon said, I am extremely pro-immigrant, being one myself. However, just as when hiring for a company, we should confirm that anyone allowed into the country is talented, hardworking, and ethical. De facto open borders is as insane as allowing anyone to join one of your companies without even going through an interview.
And Vinod said, agree 100% as a fellow immigrant. Also agree, legal vetted immigration is a huge advantage that America has over many other nations, and illegal immigration has to be stopped.
And Elon said, great.
Vinod went on to say, this meritocratic and promote individual freedoms over the heavy hand of government, I agree with. How much government money does SpaceX get? Could Tesla have survived without EV subsidies? Unfortunately, Twitter doesn't get government money, I guess. Which of these would you rather the government didn't spend money on and reduce the deficit?
Elon says, do some research before you display your utter ignorance. SpaceX gets no subsidies and received half as much as Boeing for astronaut transport, but did 100% of the work. As for Tesla, take a minute to read our public filing, and you will see that EV incentives represent a minor part of our revenue. On the other hand, oil and gas companies get massive tax breaks that exceed those given to the EV industry by several orders of magnitude. Wake up.
And Vinod says, I have to agree that Biden's treatment of Tesla as the EV leader was unfair, so I understand your ire towards them. So, woo. I mean, I guess it was kind of a discussion. I mean, yes, there was name calling. Elon probably should tone that down. But it does also appear that Vinod had really no good information about his arguments.
I mean, look, you ever have like a really bad day and then someone comes up to you and they just press the wrong button and you're just really mad for no, like, not really the right reasons. I think it's pretty much the same thing here. Mm-hmm. I think that Vinod kind of went into this not in the best way. Neither did Elon, but Elon's been kind of in the middle of this for maybe we should say the past 10 years, 12 years. I don't know. Has it gotten worse recently? Yes. Has Elon put his foot in things by like buying Twitter? Yes, you could argue that.
And also we're getting down to the last few weeks of the, you know, the campaign, and it just starts getting crazy this time when you get to presidential stuff. So Wiggle says, should there be a standalone Grok app?
Elon said there will be soon.
Zuby says, which countries are going to be global superpowers in the year 2100?
And Elon said AI.
And then Elon says, if this happens, I will literally dress like that and have a giant Doge sign.
And that is if he is the head of the Department on Government Efficiency.
So then Elon responded to these articles about the homelessness problem in California. He said, the more that is spent, the worse it gets, because the money doesn't go to the homeless. It goes to the hundreds of charities that then treat the homeless as a source of revenue. The more homeless there are, the more money these organizations get. So their incentive is to increase, not decrease, homelessness. Whatever you incentivize will happen. And then Mark Ruffalo went to a rant about Elon.
Elon Musk is such a two-faced turncoat traitor because he was a climate champion.
And then Elon said, bizarre. I've done literally a million times more than Ruffalo to advance sustainable energy. And who have I sold out to anyway? How much did they pay me? Nothing, as far as I know.
Godsad says, dear Elon, I'm sorry to report to you that Mark Ruffalo does not like you. I hope that you take this devastating information with some due serenity.
Elon says, perhaps one day we can be friends again.
And it's time for community mail time.
Community mail time.
Remember to share your stories and photos with us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com.
Ron ran into the Arctic Cybertruck crew driving at his local supercharger in Los Gatos, California, as they were driving back from the Arctic Circle on their way to Florida.
Tom shared these photos of the Cybertruck tour in Chiang Mai, Thailand.
Miranda spotted this Fisker Ocean at the Costco parking lot in Federal Way, Washington.
Maybe we should start leaving sympathy cards on Fisker Ocean owners' windshields.
No, you don't have to rub
so
it in.
Sorry. I'm not rubbing it in. I just mean like...
I do feel bad. I just do. I meant really. Oh, okay.
Rav spotted this vintage Ford while on an Alaskan cruise when they stopped in Ketchikan, Alaska. Wow, look at that. I don't see where the big battery is. It must be like in the back, maybe in the trunk.
So it's a conversion.
It's a conversion, yeah.
Wow.
That's really cool.
For a second, I thought that was like a Lincoln arc welder. I was like, wow, okay.
Ryan shared this story from the Daily News in Los Angeles of Tesla turning a vacant 444,000 square foot Kmart in North Hollywood into a showroom.
444,000 square feet? That's like 10 acres big.
Well, okay, let's see. Let's go to the map. So it's located at 13,005 West Sherman Way, according to the article. So,
wow.
Yeah. So according to the article, it used to not only be a Kmart, but also a Sears Auto Center, has 117 parking spaces, 660 charging stations. And it also reports in this article that Tesla's opening another facility in Chatsworth at 9201 North Winnetka Avenue. That was a 118,000 square foot multiplex. So looks like Tesla is expanding like crazy in California.
Is that going to be one showroom? I mean, they have five models of vehicles.
Right.
It's going to be like a giant service center.
Oh, it's going to be a giant service center, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
David attended the Rivian pop-up event in Portland, Oregon. He said the R3 was there as well, but not on official display. The funniest thing I saw was a Starlink dish set up beside the Rivian mobile service truck. The salesperson pretended he didn't know what it was.
I don't know. Someone must have just dropped their notebook or something.
What could that be?
I don't know.
Also, kind of a dumb way to place it so that half of it's blocked. Brian writes in to share the story of a natural gas pipeline exploding in Deer Park, Texas. So the mayor of Deer Park said that the intense heat from the explosion, get this, lasted for more than 12 hours. And a lot of the house structures that are adjacent to that are still catching on fire, even though we're putting a lot of water on them. So 1,000 homes and schools had to be evacuated.
So what caused it?
A vehicle drove through a chain link fence and hit the pipeline. Not an electric vehicle, mind you, an ICE vehicle. Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo said in a statement that 20 miles, that's 32 kilometers of pipeline between the two closed valves, had to burn off before the fire would stop. Brian says, good thing oil and gas is super safe and never causes fires like those evil EVs.
And no fines from the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, even though they fined SpaceX for dumping potable water a couple weeks ago.
They could have used that potable water.
They could have. Oh, that's why they fined them, I guess, because they knew there'd be this explosion. They didn't. Dan shares photos of these electric street cleaners in Prague, Czech Republic.
Wait, so the second one there is an electric vacuum cleaner that you just like pull along and like can vacuum the street with? That is so smart. I've never seen that before. That's really awesome.
Peter spotted this orange wrapped Cybertruck in a wheelie, Honolulu, Hawaii.
Longtime viewer Jeff from Akron, Ohio, went road tripping recently in his Model Y long range Quicksilver with bikes charging here at the version 4 supercharger in Kentucky. Hope you had a good trip.
That sentence is something that I would not have imagined happening back when we started the show in 2016. Matt spotted this Faraday Future FF91 in Palos Verdes, California.
Now, which that's a sentence I wouldn't have thought of.
Even last week, I wouldn't have thought that that would have been a sentence I would have said.
Maybe we need to put a so sorry postcard on their windshield as well. Cynthia spotted this Tesla semi filling up with gas?
No, that is delivering Pepsi products at this 76th station in Madera, California.
I thought it was in the gas station. And Daniel shared this EV car show in Kosice, Slovakia at a shopping mall where you could even test drive Teslas.
And they even had a Cybertruck.
Wow.
How do you do that?
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
All right, it's time for Supercharger reviews. But before we get to that, let's look at a beautiful Supercharger, Jesse. This is the 100th Supercharger site in Australia. Now, I don't think it's installed on the beach. I think that was just a photo op. Let us know, Australians. This is in Glenelg, which is right outside of Adelaide in Australia. Gotcha. I mean, I don't think you have to pull into the beach, but maybe you do. And does the beach ball come with it? Do you get to play a beach ball?
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
All right, so let's see what we got out there for Supercharger reviews.
I'm at the Crossville, Tennessee Supercharger. I'm just off of Interstate 40. I think exit number was 320. And we are at one of the probably worst amenity having locations that I've seen in my travels to Tesla Superchargers. I mean, there's a Bucky's across the street. Across the highway, there's a Wendy's across the street, which is where I had to go to use the bathroom. And we're at the back of a winery, which is not open right now. When I came through on my way to Nashville the other day, it wasn't opened. So, and because that was the middle of the night, of course. So, of course, it was closed. But there's nothing that you can easily walk to. You'd have to go and, like I did, use the bathroom before you come over here, get you something to eat before you come over here if you needed to eat. And that's pretty much it. The charger, obviously there's nobody here, and I was rerouted to this one because if I'd have gone all the way to Nashville, then there might have been a wait. So I guess people don't stop here unless they absolutely need to. I probably should have pushed to Knoxville just to see what it was like there. Maybe would have had some better amenities, but you know, it's a version 3 charger, and you know, even if you had a trailer, well, if you had a hitch on the back of your vehicle, you'd be able to charge with no problem because there's plenty of space. But if you had a trailer here, you'd probably have to unhitch, so that's another ding on this charging location. If I had to rate it, probably a 4, just because of lack of amenities and, you know, no accommodations for if you're actually towing something. So there you have it, the Crossville Supercharger off of Interstate 40, Crossville, Tennessee. Now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse, it's Joseph Barletta here with Smart Charge America, coming to you in Beaumont, Texas. Looks like a new version 3, 12 stall, 250 kW supercharger. Not too much with regards to amenities here in the small shopping mall area. A little subway right here, which isn't too bad. Hotel. But what I wanted to kind of show you all was how this particular station was built. And so essentially, if you look over here, just above those white cars, you can see a transformer coming in down from the utility company. So the construction company went ahead, extended that transformer all the way underground to this transformer pad here. From that transformer pad, utility meter, so forth and so on, is hooked up. And those conduits underground are being sent to these three cabinets. Each cabinet is connected to 4 stalls. And so you have 10 stalls in this row here. One of the interesting things that I've seen, now I don't see this too many times with a Tesla supercharging spot, is here, right underground, there's no trench line across the driveway. So what the construction company did was they actually bored underground all the way to the other side here for the last 2 stalls. And you can see the actual bore
out, that it came out from there. That was actually pretty cool. Those are your transformers over there. Overall, I give this supercharging spot 9 out of 10. Lots of hard work. Love the dedicated team over at Tesla. Their supercharger team are all stars. Keep up the good work, guys. Now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. This is Marty Addison coming to you from the first Tesla supercharging station in Oceanside, California. It's a 20-station V3 supercharger, and it's located right in the heart of downtown Oceanside, just about a three-block walk from to the Oceanside Pier. And there's plenty of amenities in the area, including a brewery right behind me in that black building. There's a tremendous popular restaurant called Swami's Cafe, a two-block walk. And there's a multitude of different fast food restaurants right in this little shopping center. It's a delightful place. Come visit Oceanside. This is a great place to do a long charge because there's lots of fun things to do, including walking down to the Oceanside Pier, having a nice meal, and enjoying the beautiful sunshine. Today is August 23rd, 2024. Look forward to seeing you here in Oceanside.
Hi, this is Daniel from Barcelona, and I'm here at La Roca del Vallès to present you guys with a brand new supercharger. We have 12 stalls. They are all version 4s. And I think this is a really nice location for a supercharger because we're just a couple minutes off the AP7 highway, which is connecting France with Barcelona City. And it's also a really nice location because it's inside the parking lot of the Roca Village outlet that you can see in the back. And this outlet is really nice. It has a lot of shops, quite a few dining options, and really nice restrooms, especially those nearest to the supercharger. However, you have to know that this supercharger has an issue, and it's the fact that you can only access this supercharger during the opening hours of the outlet. So fortunately, the outlet is open all year round, even on Sundays, except for 4 days, which it's closed. And the schedule is from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. in summer and from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. in winter. So I'd say that for the reason of the limit of the schedule, I would have to give this supercharger a 7 out of 10. Now you know.
Thank you so much for doing supercharger reviews. We have a map on our website where you can check them all out. Go to nowyouknowchannel.com and you can check out our supercharger map.
All right, so what do we got for new superchargers in the world?
We got the 8-stall version 4 in Kaiserslautern, Germany.
We got the 8-stall version 4 in Wilsendorf, Germany.
We got the 12-stall version 4 in Elmira, New York.
We got number 135 in Norway, the 11-stall version 4 in Hemsedal, Norway.
Number 81 in Hong Kong is the 8-stall version 4 at the Liberté Place, Hong Kong.
Number 81 in New Jersey is the 12-stall version 4 in Rockaway, New Jersey.
Number 87 in Pennsylvania is the version 4 in Aston, Pennsylvania.
We've got the 3-stall in Xiezhaizhuang at TV Tower, China.
The 3-stall in Ningbo, China.
We've got the 3-stall in Fuzhou, China.
The 3-stall in Yangtze River Island, China.
We have the 8-stall version 4 in Rade, Germany.
Number 2,105 in China is the 3-stall in Nantong.
We have the 8-stall version 4 in Leipzig, Germany.
Number 87 in Pennsylvania is the 12-stall version 4 in Harrisburg at Brindle Drive, Pennsylvania.
Number 48 in Oregon is the 12-stall in Portland, Oregon.
Number 99 in New York is the 8-stall version 4 in West Seneca, New York.
We got the 16-stall version 4 in Guxhagen, Germany.
Number 207 in France is the 8-stall version 4 in Auch, France.
Number 197 in Germany is an expansion from 12 to 20 version 3 and 4 stalls at Blankenfeld, Malo, Germany.
Number 171 in Florida is the 8-stall version 4 at Lady Lake.
We have number 7 in the Czech Republic. It's an expansion from 8 to 20 version 3 and 4 stalls in Brno, Czech Republic.
Number 102 in Australia is the 6-stall at Glenegg, South Australia.
Now, Tesla claimed it was their 100th.
Well, so who are you going to believe? Tesla or us?
Number 53 in Massachusetts is the 10-stall version 4 in Peabody. Hey, remember we were in Peabody the other day and I said, isn't there a supercharger here? And we're like, nope, now there is.
Number 146 in the UK is the 12-stall version 4 in Leicester.
Number 93 in Italy is the 12-stall version 4 in Talgate, Italy.
Number 62 in Illinois is the 12-stall version 4 in Bloomingdale, Illinois.
Get the 12-stall version 4 in Pacifica, California.
The 16-stall version 4 in Dublin, California.
The expansion from 12 to 24 version 3 and 4 stalls in San Diego, California.
Number 494 in California, number 2,402 in the United States, and 6,644 in the world is the 12 stall at Atascadero at El Camino Real, California.
Nice. I love it that we're just building them so fast still, even though everyone said Tesla was going to slow down.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for spending your valuable time with us today.
Yeah, this week's episode was 420. 420 weeks in a row.
We are now in our ninth year.
We couldn't do this work without you watching, and especially without our patrons.
We and our whole team of fabulous producers and editors pour our love, sweat, and tears into making this show for you every week.
So please consider becoming a patron over on patreon.com/nowyouknow. We have weekly bonus story videos for our patrons every single week.
Thank you so much for being awesome.
We'll see you next week.
Now you know.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.